Well, good morning to everyone, whether you're at home or the few that are here. And also happy Father's Day. Today is Father's Day. Have a wonderful Father's Day, those of you who are fathers. Thank you for the Campbell family for the wonderful singing, and it's a wonderful ministry that you faithfully do week by week. And thank you, Mervyn, for making this live stream possible. And may God bless us this morning through His Word. Day by day, our Savior is leading us. Day by day, our Shepherd is leading us and guiding us. What a privilege to be the sheep of God's pasture. He has created us as His sheep. Now we are going through a series of messages from the book of Exodus, slavery to Sinai and beyond. Now Rocky started us last week with a very informative introduction to the Egyptian dynasty of Pharaoh, who ruled Egypt, and the children of Israel having settled down and prospered in the land of Goshen for 400 years. Joseph was the first Hebrew slave brought by Midianites. Sold by his brothers as a slave, he became a slave in Potiphar's house. After going through many rough years of his life as a youth, ending up in prison for no crimes he committed, God gave him great wisdom and to present to Pharaoh an outline of a policy to survive the seven-year famine preceded by the seven-year prosperity. Even the Pharaoh recognized God's grace that was with Joseph. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Pharaoh made him the governor over all the land of Egypt. Through honesty, hard work, and wise decisions, he made Pharaoh very rich and powerful despite the years of famine. He was very influential with the Pharaoh, and he would do any favors Joseph wanted. Now, it was during the beginning of the famine, Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to buy food. Joseph recognized them, but they had no clue it was Joseph, their brother, whom they sold many years ago. Eventually, Joseph reveals himself to them, and they were astounded, afraid, and ashamed of themselves. They meant evil for Joseph, but God meant it for their good. This was not all happenstance. It was God who sent Joseph into Egypt many years before Jacob, his children, and grandchildren arrived to escape the famine that would fall on the whole region, including the land of Canaan, that would last for 7 years. Canaan to Egypt. All those who went into Egypt with Jacob, those who were his direct descendants, not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons, with the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt. The members of Jacob's family which went to Egypt were 70 in all. Welcome to Egypt. In Genesis 47, we read that Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock." And this is the land of Goshen. And it was the Nile, River Nile's delta region, very fertile for soil for agriculture and for pasture for the livestock. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers in the land of Goshen. Now, the sojourn in Egypt. In Genesis 47, we know that Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Life in Goshen. So this is the land of Goshen. In Genesis 47, we also read, "So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly." And you notice Midian on the lower right hand. We will know the land of Midian from the Midianites that took Joseph into Egypt. And also we will see that Moses will go flee to Midian. We can see that later. And this is land of Goshen and Midian again. And this is the land of Goshen, the Nile River Delta. Now, whether we believe or not in climate change or global warming, you can see the River Nile is drying up, water level receding consistently. And it's true of many rivers in the world. Now, River Jordan has very little water compared to the time of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Now, it is certainly true of the river by the side of which I grew up in India. Under slavery in Egypt. In Genesis 15, we read about this. Now, life in Goshen was pretty comfortable, even though they were slaves. A new chapter in the history of the children of Israel, with 70 male members, including Joseph and his sons, had begun in Egypt. This was not something happening to them by chance. This was revealed to their patriarch, Abraham, when God made the covenant with him in Genesis 15. He said to Abraham, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions." How amazing it is to know that God knew what would happen to the children of Israel, descendants of Abraham, and it happened exactly as he was told. He became the father of many nations. God reconfirmed the same promise to Jacob, that he would bring him and his descendants back to the land God gave him. Now Jacob lived for 17 years after arriving in Egypt and died at the age of 147. Now it seemed unlikely that the children of Israel were willing to return to their land of inheritance, but Jacob made Joseph promise that when he died, his body would be taken to be buried in his ancestral home. Joseph arranged a great funeral procession with all the adults in the family, and they buried him as he had wished. He knew Egypt was not his home. He had a land that was promised by God that was his home. Jacob considered that as his home. Joseph's vision of Exodus. Joseph lived in all the glory that Egypt could afford him. But when his life came to an end, he was only 110 years old, did not live as long as the other patriarchs before him. Now Joseph came to Egypt when he was 17, so altogether he lived 91 years in Egypt. Now in Genesis 50 we read, "And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.'" Now in chapter 1, we learn that Joseph and his brothers and all that generation has passed away. But the children of Israel continued to prosper. They grew and multiplied in the land of Goshen. Egyptians felt threatened, and a new king who became Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph, began to devise schemes to control the Hebrew population and to make their lives harder in Egypt. He made their working conditions worse and instructed their supervisors to make their tasks harder. They were oppressed, afflicted, and mistreated. Their cries reached up to God. The Pharaoh became ruthless, and he planned genocide to prevent any male children being born to the Hebrew slaves through the midwives during deliveries of Hebrew women. And by throwing all male Hebrew children in River Nile. None of this was accidental. It was God's timing for the children of Israel to be delivered from slavery according to his plan. Children of Israel would not have left Egypt on their own unless God raised a hard ruler. They were a healthy and prosperous nation within the nation of Egypt, too comfortable to leave. Egyptians did not want them to leave either because of all the slave labor they were getting. Their economy depended on them. Egyptians wanted to make sure they were dominating the Hebrew population and have them subdued in strength. Now, let us please turn with me to Book of Acts, chapter 7, where Stephen is recounting the story of the children of Israel. This portion portrays the topic assigned to me to speak on today. And especially notice verses 17 and verse 20. And keep this in mind as we jump into Exodus 2. which deals with the birth, rescue, and training of Moses and his flight to Midian. Let's read Acts 7:17 on. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. On the next day, he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Chapter 2 of Exodus begins saying there occurred a birth of a son to a man and his wife of the house of Levi. And their names are not mentioned here. But in chapter 6, it mentions the parents' names as Amram and Jochebed. And in Numbers chapter 26, it mentions all the children's names of Amram and Jochebed. Two older children were Miriam and Aaron. In God's timing, two significant events took place. Acts 7, verse 17, but when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. So the time of the promise drew near. And in Acts 7, verse 20, at this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. Now we might think a lot of things as coincidences in the scripture or even in our own lives, but they can be events coordinated by God in his wisdom. The hand of God guides these events to fulfill his plan. The events concerning the birth, rescue, and training of Moses were ordained by God as part of God's plan to rescue the children of Israel from the bondage in Egypt and bringing them back to the promised land. Moses confronted Pharaoh with the authority conferred upon Moses by God, and God revealed himself to Moses and called and commissioned to accomplish God's will with the help of his brother Aaron. Later on in Exodus, we can see that. A deliverer born and rescued. At the time Moses was born, Pharaoh's decree to throw every male child born to the Hebrew slaves into the River Nile. Amram and Jacobed saw it was a beautiful, special child, and they hid the child for 3 months. Every child is a beautiful child to its parents. But God planted the thought in their minds that this child is special because God had a purpose for this child to survive. They thought it was worth taking the risk of keeping the child hidden. I'm not sure how they did it. Babies cry and make a lot of noises. After 3 months, it was getting harder to keep the child with them. So again, God gave them the thought to have the child kept in a waterproof basket and kept it hidden among the reeds close to the river bank where there is no current to take the basket downstream. So it was safe to have the basket kept among the reeds. Miriam, his older sister, stood afar off and watched the baby to see what would happen. Only their faith in God made it possible for them to do these things. Now, Rocky probably showed the slide last week as well. Now, Pharaoh's is Queen Hatshepsut, and I hope I pronounced it correctly, is adopting Moses. Now, the parents probably wanted to take a chance and see if Pharaoh's daughter, and scholars think it could be Queen Hatshepsut, who had no children for a while, who they watched every day coming to take bath in the River Nile and probably doing her oblation to God. Egyptians were known to be sun worshippers. Though this is a practice even by Hindu and other ancient cultures that practiced the sun worship. This particular day, her maidens were taking a stroll along the river bank and saw the basket among the reeds. They opened it and discovered the beautiful baby boy crying in the basket. She had compassion on the baby. Pharaoh's daughter was yearning for a child. She wanted to adopt this child, and even if it turned out to be a Hebrew child, she was desperate. Now she thought finders keepers. She was willing to take the risk that this child could be killed or thrown back into the River Nile by Pharaoh if he came to find out it was a Hebrew child. Suddenly, Miriam appeared on the scene and suggested to go and call a Hebrew woman to nurse the crying child. How convenient. Miriam ran and got her mother. Per terms of the agreement, Jochebed took the baby and kept him till he grew up. Now the queen was willing to pay for the services too. Now Bible doesn't tell us till what age he was with the parents. Sure, Amram and Jacobed made use of the opportunity to give the child enough knowledge about the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and about their God and how they landed in Egypt. Eventually, the child was handed over to Pharaoh's daughter. We do not know if he had been given a name by the parents, but Hatshepsut called him Moses, which meant drawn out of water. How could we not see the hand of God orchestrating all these events to preserve the life of the future deliverer of Israel? Now, Moses grew into an adult. And in Acts 7, Moses is now 40 years old. We're not told about a lot of things during his growing up. But Acts 7, verse 22, tells that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. This is kind of a summary of Moses' achievements and accomplishments. He grew up in the palace with his adopted parents and was groomed to be next in line to the throne. He proved himself to be a great leader. He had good physique with all the military training and great knowledge according to Egyptian education in science, math, astronomy, chemistry, language and arts. According to Jewish historians, he has led a conquest against Ethiopians. Now, he rode in the palace chariots and people respected him as a royal family member. Now, he was to become the next pharaoh. However, in the previous slide, you have noticed after a few years, Hatshepsut's husband, Thutmose II, got married to Iset, and they had a child, Thutmose III. This became an issue and a challenge to Moses' position, being Hebrew by birth. Now, Thutmose II was looking for any opportunity to eliminate Moses, so Thutmose III could become the next pharaoh. Now, as the persecution of children of Israel became severe, Moses began to be concerned about his folks. They were his flesh and blood. He felt their pain. He then began to visit them in their work areas where they were mistreated and punished for little or no reason. One day, he witnessed a Hebrew was being harassed by an Egyptian, and he intervened in defense, killed the Egyptian, and buried him in the sand, which he thought was done very discreetly. Moses thought he was doing justice in killing the Egyptian. He did not feel anything was wrong. Moses was feeling like a deliverer for his people, and he took matters into his own hand based on his strength and his wisdom. Now, he was going to become a champion for their cause. The next day, he found two Hebrews fighting with each other, and he intervened and tried to make reconciliation between them. And in Exodus 2, verse 13, we read, "And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Then he said, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?'" Moses got a rude awakening. The word got out about his killing the Egyptian, and it reached Pharaoh's ears. And Pharaoh sought to kill Moses. His own brethren rejected Moses as a deliverer or judge over them. He feared for his life and was disillusioned. Now he was acting in his own will and did not seek God's will at this time. He was mighty in words and deeds, but never sought God's will. It was not God's timing and his will for Moses to act at that time. Moses had to go through God's training and teach him humility and let God take control of the mission to deliver the children of God from slavery. Now God had a plan, and Moses got ahead of God's plan and acted impulsively. Now it is a great lesson for a believer engaged in God's work to wait for his timing and his will rather than take impulsive actions. Thutmosis II wanted to take advantage of the situation and sought to kill Moses and solve the problem for the succession to the throne. Now, Moses decided to flee to Egypt and wandered in the desert looking for refuge. Now, God had not abandoned him. Next stage in his life starts. He seemed to have lost everything. He worked hard. He seemed to have lost everything that he worked hard for. It is hard to imagine how he left, how he felt about the actions he took. He had time to reflect on the consequences of his action. Midian is part of current Saudi Arabia. It must have been a lonely, grueling trip through the desert for Moses. Now he arrived at the Midianite well. He arrived at the well and he encountered seven daughters of Jethro, the priest of Midian. Now Midianites were descendants of Midian, Abraham's fourth son from Keturah, whom Abraham married after Sarah's passing. The daughters were shepherds tending the flock in the fields and came to the well to water the sheep. There were other shepherds trying to intimidate the girls. Moses single-handedly fought with them and drove them away and helped draw water for the girls to help them. The daughters got home earlier than usual because of the help they got from Moses, and Jethro was a very hospitable man who took Moses into his home and entertained him. Now, here is Moses for the next 40 years spending his life as a shepherd in Midian. And verse 21 and 22 of Exodus 2 says, "Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, 'I have been a stranger in a foreign land.'" They probably found out they were related to each other. Moses became a shepherd for Jethro's flock, and Moses made it his home for the next 40 years. In the meantime, the Pharaoh who was seeking to kill Moses died. Now it happened in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. All this time, for 40 years, God was preparing Moses to be the deliverer. Now God is ready to move. It is his time to call on Moses to get back to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. God was not willing to accept any of his excuses, but to make him perform his work according to his will at his timing. An angel of God appeared to Moses in a burning bush on Mount Horeb. Now, he heard the call of God directly from him to be sent with one message to be delivered to the Pharaoh: "Let my people go." Now, you will have more about this next week. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 mentions the faith of Moses and the faith of others, and especially Hebrews 11, verse 23 and 24 and 27, we read about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, in the scripture, we see how God makes history according to his will. When God's plan and man's faith work together, it accomplishes everything according to God's will. Amram, Jochebed, Miriam, and Moses all acted in faith. God even uses unbelievers to work out his will sometimes. Now, Pharaoh's daughter, Hatshepsut, Moses' teachers and trainers, Jethro, Zipporah, all played a part in the birth, rescue, and training of Moses to be a prophet and a redeemer. Moses was properly trained by God to be a leader and a deliverer. Now, God tells us how we should carry out God's work and how we should depend on God's will and how we should exercise our faith in carrying out God's will. And I know God has dealt with Moses, and he was trained to be a proper redeemer. What are the applications that we can take, that we can apply in our lives? We can think that we have a God who is omniscient. We have an omniscient God who knows everything from beginning to end. And secondly, God directs our steps when we follow God's will. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Thirdly, this is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Fourthly, we are in a wilderness journey, but God will take us to our final destination. Now, Christ was born at the appointed time, at the appointed place, according to several prophecies. And in Romans 5, we read, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." It is God's timing, and he will return at the appointed time to take us home. Therefore, we are exhorted in Colossians chapter 3, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Here is a slide that shows a comparison between Moses and Jesus. Moses is a type of Jesus. Some comparisons, I found this on a Bible study site between the comparison between Moses and the one greater than Moses, who is Jesus. Pharaoh tried to kill him as a baby. Herod tried to kill baby Jesus. He was hidden from the Pharaoh. Jesus was hidden from King Herod. God saved his life in Egypt, and Jesus was taken to Egypt to save his life. Moses was saved by women like Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. Jesus was saved and helped by his mother Mary. Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses, and Joseph adopted Jesus as his son. Moses became a prince of Egypt, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, a long period of silence from his childhood to his adulthood, long period of silence from Jesus' childhood to his adulthood. Moses had a secret identity that he was a Hebrew slave. And the messianic secret is that Jesus is the Son of Man, who is the Son of God. He tried to save Hebrew kinsmen, and Jesus tried to save his own, his kinsmen, the Jews, first. Moses went from being a prince to a poor shepherd. Jesus went from being God to human being, the good shepherd. He saved women at a well, and Jesus saved the Samaritan woman at a well. Redeemer of Israel from slavery, redeemer of mankind from slavery of sin. Moses gave God's law on Mount Sinai, Jesus' new law on the Mount of Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And Moses is the prophet of the Old Covenant, and Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king of the new and everlasting covenant. Moses performed signs and miracles, and Jesus also performed signs and miracles. What a great prophet and priest and king and shepherd we have. Let us therefore follow God's will, and as we carry out God's work, let us not depend on our own wisdom and our own strength. Moses was mighty in words and deeds, and he did not seek God's will, and he acted on his own impulses. And God took him away from the scene, and God trained him in his way. And may God help us to follow God's will and to do his work according to his will and his timing. May God bless us. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's close in prayer. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for enabling us to look into your word and how Moses' life was saved, how he was rescued, and how he became a ruler in Egypt, and how he became a redeemer and savior for the children of Israel. And he became the deliverer, and he was a messenger of God, who became a servant, who became humble, and he carried out your will and your work. And we thank you for being with us and enabling us to consider this topic of Moses. And help us, Lord, to learn from his example and help us to live a life which is pleasing in your sight. And as we read in Ephesians chapter 3, now unto him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever.